Hey, Mom, this one's for you.
Scotch and soda, mud in your eye. Baby, do I feel high on me, oh my. Do I feel high? Dry martini, jigger of gin. Oh, what a spell you've got me. Do I feel high? People won't believe me. They think that I'm just bragging. But I could feel the way I do and still be on the wagon. All I'd need is.
Hi there, Westerns with Dad listeners. This is Matt, and Dad is not here, I'm afraid. So first off, I want to thank you all very much for listening to this show. Unfortunately, this is the point where we have to stop doing it. I'm very sorry about that. And I guess I'll just stop beating around the bush. I know this sounds bad. I'll just rip off the Band-Aid. So, my father, co-host of this show, passed away, near the end of February. This was the end result of a 2-year-plus battle with pancreatic cancer, which is one of the worst ones that you can get, from what I've been told. It was really awful. I mean, beyond, you know, I mean, as you would expect. I mean, it was absolutely terrible to endure. In the end, you know, he was not feeling well at all. He was very, very ill, and you may have noticed in the last 6 months or so of the podcast that he's been suffering. He's been having a harder time collaborating. He's had less to say. It's just he was in a lot of pain throughout the whole process. So we knew that there was a chance that this was coming to an end, and unfortunately, that is the end of our show. Because you can't have Westerns without Dad, naturally. We got 50 episodes of this, and I think everyone is very happy about that. There was a time when we weren't sure if he was going to make it a month after the diagnosis. That diagnosis, by the way, was in November of 2015. So, if you look at the math, we started this podcast in January of 2016, and yes, indeed, this was a means for me and my father to collaborate on something, to work together on something, and to be speaking to each other frequently, but not about his diagnosis. And we were managed to do it for 25 months, a total of 50 episodes. It was a good round number. This was an enormous gift to us, and I can't thank you enough for listening, for following along, and paying attention to the emails that we received, that my father received while he was undergoing this process. You know, they meant the world to him. That was so beautiful, and it was such a bright light in going through a difficult process. I don't want to, you know, talk too much about Dad's illness. I can tell you that he didn't want to talk about it on this show. You know, it was never something that we were going to comment on or speak about. We just wanted to talk about Westerns, you know, about the movies he enjoyed, because Dad loved talking about movies. Dad was a big fan of talking about movies. I inherited it from him, to be sure. I went and saw the movies with him, I mean, an uncountable amount of times in our life. That was something we always had. If we had, you know, any amount of time together, you know, after I left Seattle, moved out east, anytime we found each other in the same place, we were always like, oh, we got to go to a movie, right? We got to go watch a movie. And that persisted, you know, our entire time together, the entire 38 years that I knew him, you know. And you know, to be honest, it was, Westerns were always special, but he loved all movies. You know, he had a great deal he liked any kind of movie, really. Action movies, he was a big fan of. We could have easily have done a podcast about 80s action movies. It would have been fascinating too. They were also among Dad and my favorites. So you know, all of them, really. There was so much to this guy, though, that you only got to scratch the surface on this show. There were so many great things. What I have done, I've recorded for the latter part of this podcast, because obviously there's no more Westerns to talk about. There's so many Westerns left to talk about. We could have done this for years. I wish we'd been doing this for 10 years, you know. There were so many great ones that we never got our chance to speak about. So many requests that we'll never get to fulfill. I'm really sorry about that. There were a lot that I was very excited to look at. Unforgiven, obviously, is one of our favorites. We never got to talk about that. We're not going to get to talk about The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, as was scheduled to be our 51st episode. Never get to speak about... Back to the Future Part 3, which he was excited about doing. We were going to do The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. That's a wonderful film. That was scheduled for February. We're going to take a look at that one. There are no end of Anthony Mann, Jimmy Stewart Westerns that we could have got to. There were more Bud Bedeker films we wanted to talk about with Randolph Scott. We had a huge list, over 100 movies. Talk about the occasional Gregory Peck Westerns we were looking to get into. There were some neat-looking, stupid horror movies I was going to force Dad to watch just because they sort of happened in the Old West. We had fuel to go for years on this, and I'm afraid we just ran out of time. And that's always how it is, I guess. You just run out of time in the end, no matter what. Okay, what I got distracted from there. I've recorded some material of people that you haven't actually heard on the show before. My immediate family. That would be Dad's wife, Vero, my stepmother, is a wonderful lady, Veronica Ronnie Vero, as well as Dad's two other kids, that would be my sister Annie and my brother Torben. I'm going to throw this on here, and you'll get to hear from them, and it's just us talking about Dad, and what he meant to us, and I tried really hard to record this in a fun, positive way without tears. There's a little, but I'm really happy that ultimately it was there's laughter in this clip. It's people, you know, celebrating a life. You know, I think you can tell everyone's a little worn down at this point. I spoke to them. It was on Oscar night. They were all together. They were going through my father's possessions, you know, trying to figure out what to do with a lot of it. And so it was good to just sort of be there for each other during this time. Thank you all so much. I can't even begin to describe how glad I am that we did this. And how meaningful it was to me that it meant something to some of you, you know. This show, I don't know what constitutes a hit, you know, in a podcast. I'm sure we weren't a hit, like other big shows are, but seeing the download count, getting the emails, and seeing, you know, people respond to it at all was such an uplift for him and for all of us. But, you know, it's the sort of thing, you know, my father was an artist. My father was a musician. It's something that doesn't come across. I put some songs that he played, you know, on a guitar. He's a brilliant guitarist. I've attached that to this podcast in the place of our usual theme songs, and just wanted to have that on there, sort of just so we can, you know, just so you can hear that, you know, hear him play and hear the joy in his voice. You know, this is a man who knew how to run a room. This was a man who enjoyed holding court. He was the charismatic center of any room, and as he lost that in the last 6 months, that was really difficult to see. That was a very difficult process to go through. And going back and looking at these episodes, I'm so happy we have a record of, you know, the good times and even some of the bad here at the end. I mean, I guess I'd prefer we didn't have too many of those, but you know, there's some really wonderful things going back on here, like the Searchers. Him talking about the Searchers, that's one of the best things I think we did. I'm really happy that happened. You know, all of these episodes, Davy Crockett, I mentioned the stuff we're talking about with my family. All of this meant a lot. You know, I don't want to belabor this. The man is a great guy. He's a wonderful, wonderful human being. I am so lucky. So lucky in the father that I received. You know, I ended up a lot like him. You know, I've inherited a lot of his his personality tics. I certainly look a lot like him. I certainly I sound like him, and I just feel like I see the world in a very similar way to him. And I remember in my 20s, I was kind of worried about that because, you know, he ended up giving up the career in arts for a career in education. And I was really hoping I would get that arts career. you know, now that I'm in my 30s, now that I'm married, that I'm, you know, settled down, as it were, I've realized that I should be so lucky to be able to get as much out of life and to succeed and be the person he has been. You know, that would be a huge success for me if I was able to get even close to how well my father lived his life. And you'll hear parts of this. You'll hear details about who this man, you know, was beyond a guy who watched westerns. His son, when I speak to the rest of my family, you know, we try to cover it, but it's impossible to cover, you know, like, I don't think we even get to the fact that, you know, that he was raised as a Mormon and went on a mission for the Mormon church before deciding it wasn't for him. You know, this was a huge, huge chapter of his life that he dealt with and came through. And I mean, not to speak anything about, you know, any of his church time, but, you know, the man lived multiple levels and multiple ways and just had as many experiences in life as you could hope for. He was just, he did a great job with life. He did a great job with life, you know. He passed at 69, which is, you know, it's not young, but it's too young. That's too young. I wanted this guy to, you know, have a great 30-year retirement, you know, and that's probably that's selfish on my part, I'm sure. And those, you know, 30 years, you know, when you're in your 90s, it's a whole different deal, I'm sure. But, you know, he deserved a long retirement, and he deserved that time with his wife, and to see his grandkids grow up, and you know, just to see all of it, and he's been cheated of that, but he certainly got a lot of other good stuff in life. On the whole, he came out well ahead, and improved the lives of a great many people around him. I tell you, like, just in the last, you know, in the last week there in the hospital, just seeing all the people who stopped by and seeing the seeing his friends, people I've known for my entire life, coming by, you know, to say their goodbyes to him was, it was remarkably powerful. And in the end, one of the things that really got me to break down the most was seeing just the huge number of people that meant something to him. You know, I'm probably repeating stuff that you're going to hear from my larger family, so I'm going to by and large keep this to a minimum and cede the floor to that conversation. But man, I just can't underline enough how much you all meant to us. I just can't say how greatly you assisted during this time, and though you may not have known it, the fact that you were listening, the fact that you were corresponding with us, dramatically helped. It was awesome. I mean, he would always be able to, you know, kind of get going and shake it off for the podcast, and he just had a great time with us. He had a great time with us. He got re-engaged with stuff that he had forgotten, you know, older westerns and all sorts of stuff like this, and all his friends, you know, they were all watching it and commenting and following along, and it was great. It was a great experience for us, and we owe a lot of that to you. Thank you so much. Thank you very much for paying attention and listening and just getting to know my dad. Thank you so much for getting to know him, because everyone who knew him really, really loved him. And thank you so much. I'm going to turn it over to the rest of the family here. I'm there as well, of course. But, you can still, I'm going to leave the podcast up, the webpage up. I don't know how long, for a while, I'm sure. You know, I would love for people to continue to find this, you know. Continue to get use out of this. It'll all still be there for some time, and you know, there's hundreds of episodes we wish we could have got to, but the 50 that we did, I'm very pleased with. It's a good round number. It's a lot of episodes, and I don't know. I think we did one that was less than an hour, so it's still, you know, it's quite a bit of material in there. It feels like that there's so much to say, and yet it's impossible to say it all. So yeah, I'll turn it over to them now. And I really hope this isn't too sad or depressing just to hear this at this point, because this is a man who, you know, this is not a man who wanted anyone to be depressed or reveled in that at all. This is a man who enjoyed life very much, and it was all about the good times. So thank you. Thank you so much. And here's the rest of my family.
Okay, hi. Welcome, listeners, to Westerns with Dad. You've already heard me talking about the situation, and I'm here with my family. You know, people that knew Dad as well as I did, maybe even better than I did. Let me introduce you first off to his wife. This is Veronica, Vero, or Ronnie, all known by a bunch of different names. She's sitting here with me.
Hi.
Yeah. And my sister Annie, right here.
Heyo.
And Torben, my brother Torben.
Hi. Uh-huh.
And so we all gathered here today to speak a little bit about Dad. Scott Martin Bernhard. I don't know if we ever said his full name on the show. Probably. I'm sure we never said Martin. But this is, you know, he's left us a couple weeks ago now, almost. And, you know, let's just be straight up. You know, it sucks.
It sucks.
It's really unfortunate.
Well, I think it's worth mentioning when saying Dad's full name that he was also a man known by many different names. Oh, yeah. It kind of depended on who was talking to, you know, who you were talking to and how they referred to Dad. You could tell at what point in his life they knew him. So yeah. It was, but Ryan was his high school name for, oh, now we know. We talked about it.
Yes.
Reinhardt.
Yeah, it was based off of a textbook written by somebody named Reinhardt.
It was the publishing company Holt Reinhardt and Winston, and they picked up on that in high school.
Because it sounded like Bernhard?
Because it sounded like Bernhard.
Exactly.
But, and he has these epic friendships from high school.
Yeah.
And those guys still call him Ryan.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And then there's Serge.
Yes.
Can you tell us about how that came about?
Yeah. How did that come about? So
his friend Steve, who they were instant friends of France and all things French, and that it started a lifetime friendship for them when Serge walked into the bookstore that Steve was working at 30 years ago or something and said, "Hey, I'm going to put together a tour to France for my students and I need some information on French." And Steve, being a very outgoing, personable person, probably within 10 minutes said, "Hey, I'm your guy. We should go out to coffee." And it just kind of started this love affair they both had with all things French, and then camping together and our families spending a lot of time together and just becoming our best friends.
Serge,
I got sidetracked. Anyway, so Steve said
a great guy. He's really
that's right, he's a great guy. So he said you need a French name, and so he said that Serge was kind of as close to Scott as he could come up with for French, and so we started calling him Serge, and then he told me that Véronique was one of the few names in French that was a nickname was made out of. So he called me Véro, and I called him Serge. Mm-hmm. And so there are a whole host of people that know us by those names. So then you can kind of tell.
That was early on.
That was early on.
In your relationship.
30 years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Véro makes a lot of sense. Veronica, Véro, that's easy.
Yep.
Scott to Serge.
No, didn't work so much.
That requires a little more explanation.
Well, it's kind of a hard one to say, too. I mean, Casey, my husband, who is like the worst at French ever. I love him. We all love him, but he's really awful at French. He says Serge, which is like painful to listen to. And then it became
like
a joke.
An American Gladiator.
That he says Serge, and it was just, I think, I'm sure he cringed along with us every time. And he's like, "Oh, Casey."
Or Maria.
Serge.
Cherge. A little girl, when she was a baby, couldn't say Serge and would call him Cherge.
Yeah.
But most of us know him by Dad.
Right. Right. Dad. Yeah. You know, it's funny too, because it is weird to me that there isn't a name for Scott in French, because Dad, but it just seems like that he should have a French name.
He deserves a French name.
His French name is Serge. To speak about French, this is something that never came across on the podcast, actually.
Right.
Really? Sure. Wow.
Yeah, Dad had an enormous passion for France and the French language. He was a French professor for most of the year, and then in the summer would lead tours in France. He did this for how many years? 30, 40 years, something like that? It was the bulk of his life.
About 30, well, let's see, maybe 27 or thereabouts. I think 1988 was his first tour. Mm. Well, that one where he met Steve.
He met Steve.
Yeah.
And Steve was connected with Rick Steves.
Right. And so he worked with a company called Europe Through the Back Door for many years. And then he started a tour company with a friend called S&E Tours for that also went on for many years. So it got him over to France.
I loved when he started his own company, by the way. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. Very entrepreneurial, our father.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as I was here to do all of the paperwork.
Right. No, he loved that. Yeah.
He had a passion for it. He's a true Francophile. All of us have been to France as a result of this a number of times. And it's always been, you know, with him. And going with him was a real experience because of his passion for it, you know. It was infectious. Right. It was impossible not to feel the same way. I mean, that was kind of true about everything Dad had passion for.
Yes. That's
Western
fair.
Movies, for example. Or,
right. I was going to say, I'm not certain I had the exact same passion for the Westerns. No. But, And there are a lot of Westerns I like, and we were talking about this earlier.
Just remember what podcast you're on.
Right? Yes, I realize that. We were talking about this earlier, that so many times I would come home, he got home from work earlier than I did, and the Western channel would be on, and he would be watching whatever.
Wagon Train,
Rifleman. Is that the one with Chuck Connors, Rifleman?
I think so, because that's what it was on the hospital.
Yeah. So also,
just so fortunately for all of us.
Yeah. Look,
no
it's
offense.
A Western. But yeah, so we have several TVs in our house because we all like watching television, movies, British comedies, Westerns. And many times I would go from TV to TV and think, God, they're all on the Western channel. So I would immediately be switching it to other channels.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think also worth mentioning is not Dad. He loved Western movies, but he just loved movies.
So that's kind of true. I mean, we focused on the Western kind of as much just to focus on anything. He would have been happy to talk about any movies, really. Obviously, he had enormous passion for Westerns, but yeah, he liked cop movies too. He loved them.
Revenge movies.
Yeah,
a lot of them were Westerns. he'd always say revenge movies.
I think he actually, so when I was growing up, he's like, I love a good revenge movie. And then later on, he's like, I realized it's not so much the revenge as the justice that I enjoy. I really like it when justice is served.
What's that Kurt Russell movie?
Kurt Russell. Which one?
He loved Kurt Russell, right? Kurt Russell.
I mean, Kurt Russell.
Who doesn't love Kurt Russell?
A lot of genres, so he could be part. I mean, when I was a kid, Kurt Russell was in every Disney thing as a kid,
right.
And so
he's so cute.
He got, I mean, and watching Overboard, so we watched cute. That
oh,
a lot
love
of times.
Overboard. So, let's do a podcast on Overboard.
So he really did like a lot of different Kurt Russell stuff, but to Western stuff in terms of. I have to admit, I have not listened to all of the podcasts. I don't care for some movies, and I don't really want to hear about them. So
that's fine.
I won't ever listen to all of them. But so I don't know if you guys ever talked about when we went to Monument Valley.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, we talked about Monument Valley.
Road versus
that. That was, as a matter of fact, I just came across his cowboy boots today, so that's a little sad. But yeah. That was,
he didn't wear those enough.
No, he didn't.
He really should have worn
those.
He
wasn't really a cowboy boot wearing guy.
No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't a cowboy guy. That's the thing. For being a big Western fan, he never really tried to be a cowboy. I have to give him something.
God, that would have been weird.
Though he did do his 60th birthday as a Western theme.
Yes.
And so that
out of John Wayne.
A cut out of John Wayne. Yeah, that's
right. He loved
it. Yeah,
He did a good... impersonation. He was good at impersonating John Wayne too.
Yeah,
he and liked doing that a lot.
Was that his only good impersonation? Because I can only remember that Jack Nicholson.
I was
I don't
about remember. To say he Jack did a good Lemon. Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
He did a good Jack Nicholson. Good Jack Lemmon though.
Jack
Lemmon. Max, right?
He tried to do John Lennon, but he would sound like. Ringo Starr.
Oh, they all sounded the same. His
and
Beatles.
Then he, then
I
he
just, his Beatles.
He was too, yeah, he never quite got it.
You can just imagine it.
Yeah, that's funny. You know, he didn't do as many. He did the same ones.
Over and over again. Isn't that a little coincidental,
Billy? Oh, yeah. The Monument Valley trip was fantastic.
Yeah.
I look back on it.
You're a baby, so you remember Torben.
I don't know, little guy. But I just, when I look back on it, laughing over the years, I'm like, Dad really scored on that trip because he got to go on the sunrise
horseback ride.
Yeah, and then he also went on the sunset because, he had to.
I know, because we had who was watching Torben as a child.
But Dad got to go both times.
Yeah, but then he got thrown off of his horse. So maybe that kind of balanced
karma. Right.
It wasn't his fault.
Hematoma.
According
it's
to his
hematoma.
That's right. It wasn't his fault.
His
but it...
version of accounts, it was not his fault.
Yeah. It was the tourists.
It was
that,
a tourist from Germany reared
Germany
into him.
Price.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. He told me.
Yeah.
The vacations. vacations with Dad, yep. whether they were just Christmas vacations off to Michigan to see his folks, or the epic vacations that we all took together were some of the best memories of Dad, of all of you, frankly. of being in this family and just, you know, experiencing these things together. Like, he's a guy who loved vacations. And again, it was that
sort of thing. Yeah, I'd love to live. You know what I said? I keep thinking when I get really bummed out about Dad over the past few weeks, I think about how he did not live to work, right?
No, definitely not.
He worked to live. He loved his job. He had a great passion for teaching.
He was such a great teacher.
And French culture, and he also taught Spanish. I mean, he was just this amazing professor, but he wasn't waiting for retirement. You know, he wasn't just sitting around not doing things.
Waiting to retire.
He started the tour company so he could go to France.
Not to make money.
He
had it worked out.
Oh, yes, God. Definitely. Not to make money.
At least he wasn't losing money, right? Or was he?
Didn't matter. He didn't care.
Sometimes a tax deduction helps.
There you go. But he didn't. He really lived life. Mm-hmm. And that's why the last 2 years had been so tough, because
it took that away from him.
They really did. Yeah. The good wine, the good food. Dad, you'd say, Dad, you should probably eat healthier and work out more. And he's like, man, I think so. And looking back on that, I'm like, good for you, you know? Yeah. Like, we could all learn something from that. But he loved life. And part of that is the vacations. And he loved his family. And he loved us all being together. And he would just make the absolute most out of vacations. It was awesome.
Well, and you, Torben, you and he drove across the United States. That was like a 5-week road trip that you guys took one summer and saw all sorts of.
We had a lot of road trips. Because you didn't want to come on a road trip.
Well, I had to work.
You had to work. All
right. So I, granted, as a teacher,
you're tied up.
Yeah. So everybody's point of view of me is like, I didn't want to go on vacation, right? I got 2 weeks of vacation. He got all summer off. So that was the thing about it being a teacher is it was good for him, hard for me, because he was like, great, I'm on vacation. I'm great. I'm going to work. I'll see you at the end of the day.
See you in a few months.
Yeah, sometimes he was gone like 3 months to France, one tour after the other, which was wonderful for him. We got to spend some quality time.
Yeah.
He did love a road trip, and I like a road trip. We took one in 2015. It was just 1 week, just over to Montana and up into Canada and through Banff and back down.
Before he was diagnosed. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, good memories from that.
The zip lining.
We did zip lining. That was awesome. That was a kind of a funny thing because there's a weight limit for ziplining. And he was so determined to do this ziplining that we went the day before. This is in Whitefish, Montana. We went the day before. This is kind of bittersweet considering how much weight he lost during the treatments. But and they said he was like 1 pound over the day before. And they said, okay, so you have to... We went to dinner that night. He ate nothing. He was drinking no water. He wore, like, he gave me his wallet and his belt and everything to carry. And he got to the next morning 1 pound under the limit. So we got to go on the zip line. And I've told that story to people and they go, I'm not really sure you want to push the zip line. But it was, if you can ever go to Whitefish, Montana and do their zip line, they're like 5 or 6 and you kind of take some, you do a little bit of hikes and then you take some chairlifts to go through the whole series of zip lines. It's amazing.
What a cool memory.
It was well worth his not eating dinner that
day. A half a day,
He'd been trying up, you know, working up to it, but at that last minute, like, yes, I'll carry everything. Don't even wear socks.
That's a pretty special trip. I mean, because that really was before kind of your life changed very dramatically.
He was starting to feel bad on that trip. That was when we were saying, you got to do something.
Yeah.
He couldn't sleep. And so that was, it was the beginning of figuring out there's really something wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's so frustrating about cancer, and so many people have dealt with it personally or in their families or friends, it took everything out of Dad. And he had 2 years, which people say, wow, over 2 years with pancreatic cancer. That's amazing. I'm like, yeah, it's a silver lining for sure. But it was really tough to see him go through what he went through.
Yeah.
But we did get some fantastic memories in the last 2 years. And
I got back to France. I was really happy that happened.
Oh, yes. That was something I'm forever grateful for, saying, we got to go. We got to go to France. Yeah. We're going to go to Belgium and see your friend Francois. Yeah. We're going to go see some places that neither one of us had seen before. And see some of his, that was hard to do. That was really hard to do because he'd seen pretty much all of France. So there were just a couple places he hadn't been to before.
So he saw all of France.
I don't think over his lifetime.
All of France, yes.
That he'd seen all of it, but he saw a lot of it.
Let's go with all.
So there weren't too many places that I could go on my trips with him that he hadn't already been. Mm-hmm. And so it was nice on that last trip, one, to go a couple places that he hadn't been, and to see a few of his friends that it turned out he was never going to see again. So that they had that opportunity to kind of reconnect with him. I mean, it was hard. He had a hard time realizing that there were things he couldn't do because he couldn't walk as well.
Right.
And so there were tough parts about that tour that we took, but there were also, it was just really nice. And we got to go back to the place where, we really connected and where, he proposed and had dinner there. And so, when we talk about, and I know Annie, you can talk about this too, when we say we'll always have Paris, that is literally for us. Mm-hmm. That was a very special place. So yeah. And then we all went to Disneyland last March.
Yeah.
Well, that was a great, great decision going to Disneyland. I'm so glad we all did that.
We had to do it.
Yeah, we talk about this in the Davy Crockett episode of the show.
Yes.
We reference it in that. That, by the way, is my single favorite episode of Westerns with Dad.
It's a great one. We were going to do it in Disneyland, right? And then we were too busy.
Yeah.
It was too much going on. Sorry.
We did Disneyland like from sunup to sundown.
We did.
All day long.
Yeah. We did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we stayed all in the same room.
No one was let's go hover around a computer and talk about Davy Crockett.
Yeah. Let's just get outside and
let's go to Davy Crockett.
Yeah.
Let's go do that part of Disneyland. It was so cool. And I think the background there, I mean, and I think you guys got into this in the Davy Crockett episode, is that Dad's love for Disney was deep. He was there the year it opened because he grew up in Santa Monica. I mean, he talked about that
all the time. Yeah.
He really, I talk about it all the time. Like, my dad was there the first year it opened, but that was a really special trip. It's really tough though, when someone's has a terminal diagnosis. You don't really know how long it's going to be. You also don't know how long they're going to be able to enjoy things, but you don't want to be. And Dad was very optimistic, right? Throughout the whole thing. I mean, he hated the whole thing, but in general, he wasn't one to sit and talk about his death, at least with his kids. And
he didn't want to speak about that. He kept the focus elsewhere. I mean, even in the show, even in Westerns with Dad, he was like, I don't want to. I mean, we started this show in a sense as a response to his diagnosis. Yeah. And he was just like, I don't want that to ever be part of the show. You know, of course, now it ultimately has to be a little, but that.
Right. Because Dad,
he didn't want to dwell on.
I just think
other concerns.
Mm-hmm. I know I've said this to you many times, Matt, how wonderful it is that you did that you guys did Westerns with Dad. That kind of created a way for you to be part of being with him since so far away.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave him kind of a chance to reconnect with you on some of the Westerns and things. And I remember one of the ones that I like listening to you was Silverado.
Mm-hmm. What's happening? You still have the vase? You still have the Silverado vase?
I do have the vase, yeah. Actually, sorry, it wasn't, yes. I do have the vase. It wasn't Silverado, it was City Slickers.
Oh,
the City Slickers, yeah. When you talked
fantastic.
About watching it from the age of about who Billy Crystal was supposed to be in that movie.
Oh, God. Awful.
It's like, I saw it when I was a kid, and then, whoa, wait a minute. Well, yeah, you know, how did this happen?
Mm-hmm. And out you came.
And out you came. Yeah.
I forget what. Is he 40? Like, it's crazy.
I think it's like
his 39th birthday in the movie.
Uh-huh. No way. Yeah. Billy Crystal is like 100. That's crazy.
No, at City Slickers came out in like 91.
That's crazy too.
Yeah. But no, hey, my 39th birthday is in, let's see, 4 months. A little bit under 4 months. That's weird. I don't know.
Are you going to go on a cow drive?
That would be fun, right? I should do that. I'm not going to do that. But like, it would be... If I had Billy Crystal money, I would go on a cattle drive.
Well, actually, I got to back to what Ronnie's saying. I've said it that Westerns with Dad was a stroke of genius. Because the reasons Ronnie was just saying, but also it gave Dad such incredible joy in the last few years. Torben was here a lot over the last year especially, and you saw how Dad was on the daily basis and then how he'd get when he was prepping for a podcast.
Yeah.
And he'd brighten up, I think, to the extent that you didn't know how bad things were getting, Matt.
I mean, by the end, I kind of got a sense, but yeah.
It was harder for him to even speak. He hated that he's starting to sound like an old man.
Mm-hmm. He did. Towards the end.
And I would just say, but you have to practice. Speak in your low voice. So telling him to talk more.
Yeah. I think also something that didn't come out in the podcast as much is his also another passion that he had for music. And that was like a huge part of Dad's life too. And it's funny because he had all these passions that.
I know. I
made him.
He is an artist, or always has been, like a musician, you know, in his life. Whether, you know, he did it for a living for some time when he was younger, and then even after he became full time French professor, he was, you know, that music was an enormous part of his life, and he was never far without his guitar. I want to bracket this episode, you know, this final episode here with some recordings of Dad playing. I'll talk to you about getting some of those, Torben. Sent online. He was a wonderful musician and an incredibly talented singer. I wish I had his ability to sing. That would have been very useful. But he was so good at it. And he's just, man, there was so much stuff that he was good at. So much stuff that he was accomplished at. Like in his later years, he became quite good at pétanque, to the extent that you guys have a pétanque court built in the backyard.
I was trying to give him a place to practice where he wouldn't have to go so far away.
Mm-hmm.
The gravel was subpar.
Come on. Got to work on that.
Snooty pétanque player.
This is not up to the standard.
To the extent that he was like, you know, he was out there playing. I don't know if there are professional bocce players, but
there are professional pétanque players. Uh-huh. And just so that everybody understands, it's when people ask what pétanque is, and sometimes you just say it's French bocce ball, but it is, it's a different surface and the balls are small and steel.
Right.
But there's a lot that's generally the same, but, I'm not the snob, but it's definitely a unique or a different, slightly different game, but yeah, he played in tournaments, local tournaments, and
regional.
His name's on the trophy and regional. Yes, he came in third he and his partner came in third in a regional tournament. So yeah, we have a lot of a little pétanque trophy shrine here. that will be around for a while. But yeah, he loved it. And he met, that was like another group of people that he met. So he had all these groups of people in his life through teaching and music and tours in France and pétanque and
softball.
Yeah. Softball, yeah.
Yeah. He played softball for like 15 years. That was one of my favorite things.
He was awesome.
To go watch him play.
He was actually a good softball player. I was terrible, but, you know.
I was always so proud of him.
Yeah.
And on the sidelines, he was really good.
Yeah, I got,
he was strong.
Got going through the college, joined a team, and it just went on and on and on. It came up with an incredible group of friends and people in our lives. Because he was on this team. The Exploding Funerary Urns was the name of the
team. Yes.
Which now,
which is a kind of a
do we have to explode his
urn? No.
We
no.
Could.
Exploding Funerary Urns here. So let's just leave that as a literary reference.
And, lift one and blow that one.
That was part of a little funerary urn.
Okay, so Torben now wants to get a little container and.
Well, not all
a little urn.
Blow it up. Blow up a little bit of no. Let's.
I think
not.
Dad would have liked that. Actually.
Yeah, I do too.
You get a laugh.
Actually, probably. Would.
Yeah, it was the intramural team, and then they started playing when they were like in their master's program. And these guys.
I think so. Yeah, because they had played, and then he'd stopped playing, and then when I came on the scene, for some reason, he kind of started to reconnect with those folks, and they just wonderful, wonderful people.
Yeah, they sure are. Yeah. It really came, it went beyond like softball eventually. There were, you know, there were elaborate parties, Christmas get togethers, albums. They cut some albums.
Yeah, so the importance of being earnest. We'll make sure that that's some of the songs that you get if you want to hear or you want to record or play some of his on the podcast. But yeah, of just course. A lot of different groups of people who got to know him. Through different interests.
I mean, being in the hospital room last week, you know, just seeing the number, the sheer number of people who came to say goodbye to him was deeply affecting. That's kind of one of the things that really got me going, you know, in the end was just keep seeing these people from the last, you know, 38 years of my life coming through the door. And it was, that was difficult.
Right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. It was powerful for sure. Dad was so
he was
magnetic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And people just wanted to be around him and he kept friends. That's what's amazing to me. And something I reflect on in life a lot is that I wish I were better at that. And Dad was really good at keeping friends mostly because he was awesome and people wanted to be around him. But I mean, he put the work in too, and he took care of his friends and
plus, as an entertainer, so I got together with a group of the people from the kind of softball crew shortly after he passed, and they were talking about we would go camping.
Yeah.
So
rain or shine.
He was a great camper, by the way. A really terrific camper.
Some of those campouts, and he would always bring his guitar and he would play and sing. And one year he couldn't make it. And they talked about just sitting around the campfire, kind of staring at each other like, okay, well this, now what do we do? And they half-heartedly tried to sing and no, that didn't work. So he kind of brought people together with that talent of not just singing, but entertaining.
Oh yeah.
Man can hold court like nobody's business, you know? He was really good at it, you know? He could make an entire room full of people feel like they were all welcome and part of something and having a good time just by, you know, the strength of his personality. Boy.
He had an incredible personality.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He was just amazing. You guys had this Christmas party every year, and it got too big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And too many... Yeah. It just got too big for the house almost that, you know, it was like couldn't have the Christmas party anymore. Yeah.
We had a tiny house. I remember that small house. We had like, I think the most we had was 39 people in that.
Yeah.
The old house. Yeah. I remember how small that was.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was impressed by that.
So he, loved so many things.
He drew people to him.
And then he also could remember a lot of stuff. My theory being, guys remember more stuff because a lot of women are taking care of the
other things,
other stuff. But I literally, I think it's kind of that, what is it, that scene in City Slickers where they're talking about the people playing baseball and the gals, like, I don't know how you guys remember who played first base in 1965 at blah, 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 blah. And then all three of them say who did it. But he could remember a lot of stuff, which when you guys were doing your podcast could talk about, you know, people from movies and stuff. And then you guys used to play the movie game.
Yeah.
Which the movie game,
I could never really get good at because I didn't know very many of the actors, except for, I remember for a long time, Bruno Kirby was a guy we could kind of toss in. There were a couple others that I knew that you could use to go from one place to the next, and that was one of the...
Wait, remind me of the movie game, because we played that a lot, and I can't remember it now.
It was basically it's
the
Six rules. Degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. He was in this movie with this person, right?
Yeah. Like, right, okay, and then you had to get back around to that original person. And then you and your dad, Matt, you guys would play... We would... Just like, can you get back to Kurt Russell? Because then I can do something with it.
Overboard.
You want to do one round of the movie game right now for Dad?
Sure.
This was a road trip classic. So we'll start with me, and we'll go around. So Torben after me, Kurt Russell. We'll be getting back to Kurt Russell. So Kurt Russell, Goldie Hawn, and Overboard.
Dang it, I was going to do that.
Yeah, you're done.
Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell not been in another movie together?
I think they were, but I just don't remember the name.
You can't remember. Well, you got another Goldie Hawn.
He's the one that asked to do Goldie
Hawn. You need a Goldie Hawn movie.
That's not fair.
Oh! You want to go this way?
Yeah, let's go the other
way. I'll go this way. Goldie Hawn and Steve Martin in House Sitter.
Classic.
Jeez.
Total classic. Also, you're welcome.
Right. Steve Martin. Yes. Steve Martin and Daryl Hannah in Roxanne.
Oh, that's worse than Goldie Hawn.
No. You can get straight from Daryl Hannah to somebody that is in a ton of movies.
Isn't Daryl Hannah in Splash with Tom Hanks? Yeah, so that's Tom Hanks. Splash.
Yes. You've seen it. Tom Hanks.
Got it.
I have.
You have? Awesome.
All right. Tom Hanks, and I'm trying to get a good route towards Kurt Russell here. Tom Hanks and Bill Paxton in Apollo 13.
Oh, Bill Paxton and Kurt Russell in Tombstone.
And that's a movie game.
Oh, there you go. Because I was like, okay, she's going to do something. Twister. Yeah. Let me have Twister. I, for some reason, who likes romantic comedies and calm movies, and I love Twister. That's like weird. My secret weird.
That is so weird.
That is so weird. I've seen it once. Maybe I haven't given it
I don't own it. I don't think I want to own it. It's just that if I'm turning the channel and it's on, I stop whatever I'm doing. I'm watching Twister.
That's like a few good men.
And I remember you, Matt, you told me once when I was telling you about Twister, you're like, they would be dead so many times just running through that field that they would get like stuff in their eyes. They would, you know,
logistics.
A fence post would needle through them. There's no way.
That's true. A tornado can thrust like just a twig through a body. You know, like
wind force. And I remember that every time in that last scene, and I'm like, but they didn't get it.
It was a miracle. It's an amazing movie, right? All these miraculous things happening.
Oh well, I got to show this to you guys. This will be in the podcast, I guess. Amanda has just cooked a cake for the Oscars. This is it right here. This is
Are those Fruit Loops?
Yeah, it's Fruit Loops. This is a Get Out cake.
My gosh. That's awesome.
Have you seen Get Out, anybody?
No. No.
No, but I've actually seen that cake in some sort of meme.
That seems unlikely. It's just something she made.
Really? What does it say?
It says, "Stay woke," written in Fruit Loops, and it is a white cake with chocolate frosting on the outside.
Oh, right, race.
So, race. And awesome. Maybe listeners who are familiar with the podcast will know what that is in reference to. The movie Get Out. It's the Oscars tonight, you see, which is one of Dad's favorites. One of the Dad's favorite things.
Yeah, that's going to make it hard for us, I think, too.
Yeah.
I was telling you on the phone, I thought that this was the first Oscars in like 25 years that I wouldn't be watching it with him. But last year, I was on a plane coming back from Mexico, so I missed the whole thing.
Yeah.
I had to do some kind of watching some YouTube things of the very end when Warren Beatty read the wrong
movie. Oh, God, that was awful.
Movie, but...
Yeah, he came down to Gig Harbor and watched it with me and the kids, which I'm sure he loved.
Really, you know what? I'm sure he did, is the thing.
Oh, we had a great time. In fact, it just came up on my memories. I don't know if, in your iPhone, it says, this is what you were doing last year today.
Really?
And it was like the 29th or it wasn't leap year, but it was like the 28th. And it was a picture of Dad and Phoebe, my now 2-year-old. Snuggling on the couch watching the Oscars. And I was like, that's pretty awesome.
I got to see a little of him as a grandfather, and it was wonderful.
He's
so well suited for it.
I get really angry at cancer, though, because he wasn't able to be the grandpa that I think he wanted to be. And I see like earlier videos and pictures of him with my kids. My son was a year and a half when Dad was diagnosed and Phoebe was born 3 weeks before. So there was a very different, when he was this big, strong, powerful dude.
Yeah.
When holding the kids and singing Edelweiss and rubbing their backs and with Fletch. And then just such a difference within a year. And, he was so much weaker. And frankly, they couldn't recognize him because he kept his look kept changing because of the chemo. It was like, if he's doing this chemo, he's in the hair. And then he's this. And now his hair is dark again. Like, it was so... But he was, for what the time he had, he absolutely made the most of it. And he really did prioritize the kids.
Yeah.
I was really glad. I was really glad he got to come to my wedding, too. That was,
was
great. And you guys all got to come out to New York.
The best wedding. Yes, yeah. Even that was the most fun.
I mean,
wedding.
I got
pretty
married.
Pretty fun wedding. Pretty fun wedding. Yeah. Sorry, Annie.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Sorry.
I'm over it. It was awesome.
It was your wedding was awesome, but Matt and Amanda's really kind of upped everything a notch. Yeah,
yeah. Just had that little.
It was a great week in New York with all the family.
Yeah, it was because you all got to go to New York. That's why.
Yeah, there is that. There is something. The vacation.
Yeah, but the actual ceremony.
Well, that was awesome. Cool. But you got to look at New York while you were doing it, and then we all got
Little Italy.
Yeah,
that was fun.
That's great.
So the thing about the Oscars, actually, that he went down and watched with your kids. I mean, there were people that we wouldn't let watch the Oscars with.
I remember
because they talk over it.
They would talk.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Actually, serious stuff. And
I forgot how intense it was.
Even as this year, we would have ballots and then we would check in with you, Matt, afterwards and say, okay, how many did you get right? And I'm guessing most of them because depending on what year, I would get to some or none at all, as in this year.
You've always gotten some.
I've always gotten some except for this year. I better start watching something right now. It's just been a little busy.
Yeah.
And so, it wasn't that we were serious as we watched them. We enjoyed them, but we just didn't want people talking over what was being said because
The banter. I know.
The banter and what people were saying. So,
that's right. So, I guess on that note of hushing people at the Academy Awards, we can kind of start to wrap this up. I'm really glad that there was so much laughter during this, to be honest, that this was so upbeat.
We worry that we were just going to cry through the whole thing. But
it's been a brutal couple weeks. And I think, honestly, just having us all together is, I love you all individually, of course, but it also reminds me of him. And that helps.
Yeah.
That makes me, that makes it feel like he's still here in some way. And it's been
I got to say, we appreciate all the people who have listened to the Westerns with Dad podcast and gotten to kind of know that part of him because that really tickled him that people from around the world would listen to this and just one more way in which he was getting to be someone that people would might feel like they know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I can't actually say that. He listened to him. I mean, I'll be talking about this in the other thing, but just the fact of, just him getting emails from people in other parts of the world, that tickled him immensely. So thank you all very much for those emails.
Yes, thank you.
And listening and just the whole thing. We really appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This made some tough years a lot more manageable for Dad, that's for sure. Yeah. Thanks to Matt, too, for making it happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Help me, too.
What are you going to do now, Matt? Westerns with Matt?
I'm not going to do any more of this podcast.
I don't know.
I might do another one at some point. I don't know what it would be at this point. I don't know. This is the end of this, though. Okay. This is clearly the end of this.
Hallmark slop with Ronnie.
Yeah. Ronnie.
Hallmark slop with Ronnie.
Here we are again.
Okay, yet again, the same plot line.
I'd love to hear that podcast. I would listen to it.
Well, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
All right.
Hey, he's the one that got me kind of hooked on Hallmark schlock. Amazing enough
for a guy who really liked movies. That was a real story. One last story.
Well, because he loved Christmas stuff. He loved Christmas movies. Yeah. And so he came across this fact that there were Hallmark Christmas movies. And I came downstairs one day to the man cave expecting to see him watching a Western or some revenge, whatever. And he's watching a Hallmark. Watching a Hallmark movie. Like, yeah. Okay. So that kind
of happy movies
started the being hooked on Hallmark movies. So we had a lot of good hours sitting on the couch and watching Hallmark Christmas schlock.
That would be a really fascinating podcast. Do it.
There would be one of them.
Yeah. Yes. I'd listen. For most of it, I'd listen. Oh, well,
thank you. Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. And enjoy the Oscars. I'll be doing the same here in New York, and I'll see you guys soon. Thanks a lot.
Love you,
Matt.
Me too. And say bye to everybody else, I guess. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All
right.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Adios, amigos.
Yes.
Imagine hits and runs and stuff like that. No matter how you toss the ball or swing the bat, it's still Elizabeth and Pam and Al and Pat. Why can't we play better?
Greg breaks his collarbone and thinks he's hurt. And Dave strikes out and throws the bat into the dirt. The Baxter gets the only hit.
Just too far. Need a care, a run, and then just one to drink at Arnie's bar.
Then Al gets up to bat and stands and waits, and waits and stands and stands and waits, and stands and waits, and waits and stands and waits and stands and stands and waits. Why can't we play better?
Scott can't throw the ball. First base anymore is just too far. Need a care, a run, and then just want to drink at Arnie's bar.